Welcome to the Bloody Aussie Battler podcast with your host and fellow battler, Mike Holt. The Bloody Aussie Battler brings you news, views and interviews as we discuss what the liars, thieves, criminals and traitors have been doing to our country and to Western democracies around the world. My guests discuss important issues and explain why and how it's time to drain the billabong to bring back decent, lawful, moral government that will serve we, the people of the Commonwealth of Australia. Join us now on the Bloody Aussie Battler. Australia! Australia!
Are you interested in podcasts that uncover the truth? Tune into Widdershins Podcast. Straight from science fiction, we uncover the technologies being developed right under our noses. We bring to you the world's leading scientists, engineers, and experts to discover just how far away these things really are from becoming our reality. www.widdershinspodcast.com.
Dick Yardley's book, Australian Political and Religious Leaders, Treason, Treachery and Sabotage. Dick exposes how Whitlam, Hawke, Keating, Goss, Rudd and all the other Fabians have destroyed our manufacturing and agriculture. If you want to know exactly how they have done it, get Dick's book at advanceaustralia.com.au and click on merchandise. Knowledge is power. Get the power to fight the corruption today. You know, we've already seen how much gold we have sitting in the ground. And if you missed that video, it's here on YouTube and on our website. And we know now how much has already been taken. Now, based on the value of our gold resources alone, Australia is a very wealthy country with trillions of dollars in gold value still sitting in the ground. We could be using that to underpin our economy. So why are we all so poor? We pay one of the highest tax rates in the world, and yet we get almost nothing back for it. Unless you count, of course, the new toll roads we are forced to pay for and fined if we refuse to pay, because we know that we have already paid for those roads many times over with our car registration, license registration, and other hidden taxes. And because our constitution guarantees us freedom of movement without government interference. Did our forefathers need a license to ride their horses into town? Of course not. And there's no difference between a horse and a car. It's a means of travel. And we have an absolute right to travel anywhere we wish without being forced to pay for it by a corporation, no matter what authority it claims over us. But the political party criminals don't care about our rights and our freedoms. All they want is our money. More money. And yet more money. So let's talk about where else Australia has untold wealth just sitting in the ground. Coal has been given a very bad name in Australia. The socialist agenda has decreed that we must abandon this clean energy supply and move over to renewables. Yeah, well, that's working, isn't it? South Australia is a good example. It's rich in energy. It contains significant reserves of fossil fuels such as natural gas, coal, and oil. The state also contains large amounts of uranium, including the world's single biggest deposit at Olympia Dam, which represents 30% of the world's total resource. But the socialists have forced all coal-fired generating stations to shut down, obviously without thinking it through first. As a result, we see South Australia experiencing power shortages, despite installing banks of Tesla batteries to store energy from their solar arrays. And these arrays only work when the sun is shining. And this is just ridiculous, isn't it? If we are to rebuild our nation, we need a reliable source of energy. And the source that is most abundantly available is coal. Now, here's a small sample of how many coal plants there are in the world today and how many more are going to be built within the next 5 years. So, for instance, the EU has 468 plants. They plan on building 27 more for a total of 495. I won't go through the whole lot, but it's pretty obvious that Australia is alone in destroying our most easily available source of energy, all fired by coal. Just look at China. They have 2,363 for a total of 3,534. That is a lot of coal-burning generators. And yet here in Australia, these idiots, the Greens and the Labor people, think that we can reduce the amount of carbon in the air, which we need to live, by getting rid of coal-fired plants. It just doesn't make sense. These Australian politicians want to shut down our six remaining plants and save the planet. Whoopee-doo. What these so-called environmentalists don't understand is that coal actually saves forests. As Professor Ian Plimmer of the Institute of Public Affairs explains here.
And a teaspoon is a symbol of the modern world. And I try to work out if we could make a teaspoon using alternative energy, or as I call it, alternatives to energy. And I first look at wind power. Now, you just cannot make a simple thing like a teaspoon using the electricity generated from wind power. We would have to clear an area the size of Tasmania. Now, I think we should, because that's the green paradise, and just clear fell all of Tasmania to give Australia half of the energy we need from wind. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is that you have to clear around wind turbines to stop turbulence, to get a clear flow of air. That has a profound effect on the environment. These machines, we know, slice and dice birds and bats, and I'll give some good examples of the numbers that have been counted. But what's even more important is, I think I'm the first person that's done the calculations. How much carbon dioxide do you emit making the steel for the tower? How much carbon dioxide do you emit making the concrete for the base and the copper wiring, and on we go? And it's far more carbon dioxide than that wind farm would save in its whole life. The second thing is, I do the costings. What is the cost of the energy compared with the capital cost? It's not free energy, you've got a capital cost. And a wind farm, if you're an extremely, everything's working for you, all the planets are aligned, you've probably got about 18 years before you can pay back the capital. They have a working life of 15 years. So it doesn't sound like a very good economic decision. And then I look at, with the wind farms, the amount of embedded energy that we have to put into that steel and into the concrete. And that's energy that we embed by creating steel from rock. And that's not a very good number either. And then I look at an alternative to V8 engines chugging away, giving you power all the time, or a diesel genset giving you the power you want all the time, compared with a dirty big wind farm. And the only way that wind farms can survive is by a massive subsidy. And the Western world has gone mad, subsidising energy, and the cheaper the energy, the more jobs we have. Wind farms don't create employment. They put people out of employment. So I've had a good look at wind farms to see if they can actually deliver the energy to make a teaspoon. And of course, as we all know, it's unreliable energy, and you have to have a coal-fired power station ticking over anyway. So you don't save any carbon dioxide emissions. All you do is you give various nefarious financial groups the ability to trade something like carbon dioxide that you can't see, you can't touch, you can't smell it. And what a wonderful opportunity for a scam. And then look at the possibility of generating the energy to make a teaspoon out of solar power. And I look at the Spanish, and the Spanish are so clever. The Spanish have created a way of creating solar electricity at night. You heard it correctly. The Spanish generate solar electricity at night. How do they do it? When the sun sets, they start up a diesel generator with floodlights onto the solar panels, because the subsidies are so generous, they can keep the scam going. Is it any wonder that Spain has gone broke? And again, look at the solar power stations. How much energy is used to make them? The concrete and the steel and the aluminium and the glass. How much land do you have to clear? And again, you come up with the same conclusion. The solar panels do not save any carbon dioxide emissions because of the amount of embedded energy in the materials that you use to make. The solar panels actually leave you a lot of toxic substances, and you know, we leave them in China, we don't leave them here, we're purists. These toxic substances are far more powerful than the main greenhouse gases like water vapour or carbon dioxide and methane. And I look at the amount of land you have to clear to create a solar power station. And of course, they're unreliable because the sun doesn't shine all the time. We don't have effective ways of storing this energy. So we have to keep a coal-fired power station ticking over. But the European Union, in its hatred of coal, has got very smart. They have deemed that the carbon dioxide molecules that we release into the atmosphere from burning coal are evil, yet if we burn wood, they're not. Because plants have this remarkable ability to say, oh yes, this molecule that I'm going to use for photosynthesis came from burning wood, so we're just going to keep the carbon cycle going. But that molecule, that really bad one, from burning old wood, in other words coal, is evil. So what's happened is we have a 4,000 megawatt power station, the Drax power station in Yorkshire in England, that has converted from coal to wood. Now, you can do the sums, and they've been done. To generate that, you need 70,000 tonnes of wood per day. Now, this was the environmental movement that started by being concerned about trees. And now to generate electricity from wood, there's 70,000 tonnes per day. But it doesn't come from the EU. It comes from the US. And so there's clear felling of lands of environmental importance in the US. A lot of energy used to do that. It's pelletised, put on ships, which use a lot of energy, goes to the UK, loaded onto trains, all these emit energy. And you can burn this wood because the EU has deemed that this is a renewable form of energy. Now, that's total madness. It is environmental devastation. That's the end result of green politics, where they destroy the environment.
Nor do these same environmentalists comprehend that Australia is one of the leading suppliers of coal-burning technology. This Melbourne company, Environmental Clean Technologies Limited, for example, has developed a unique low-cost method to dewater brown coal and transform this abundant resource into a black coal equivalent. They call it the coal dry process, which creates a high-grade coal equivalent that burns so efficiently that it can be used to make high-grade steel, something that is impossible burning low-calorie lignite, or brown coal as it is known. Now, ECT's coal dry technology is a scalable, cost-effective, low-rank coal drying solution that produces a storable, transportable, energy-rich fuel pellet ideal for the lucrative thermal coal market, as well as excellent for use in higher-value coal conversion applications, such as manufacturing high-grade steel and other products requiring efficient high-temperature combustion. But this company didn't stop just there. They have another technology called Matmore. This technology is positioned to revolutionize primary iron making thanks to the design of their simple, low-cost, low-emission, patented Matmore retort, which uses cheaper alternative raw materials. Now, the beauty of these two technologies is there's almost no pollution whatsoever. Now, Matmore comprises three exclusive facets. Inputs: it uses brown coal, that is lignite, as a reductant and heat source. No other technology can claim this. Hydrogen: Matmore is dominated by a hydrogen reduction reaction instead of the traditional carbon-based reduction reaction. Where do we get hydrogen from? It's everywhere, especially in water. It's simple, clean, and efficient. And plant design. Matmore employs a unique retort, a vertical furnace that works with the standard natural chemistry of brown coal. Both the coal dry and Matmore technologies do not pollute the atmosphere. Instead, they offer a chance to revitalize our iron and steel industries. The only obstacle is the political party governments that are dedicated to destroying our manufacturing base for the sake of their UN-inspired Agenda 21. Instead of using this technology to benefit Australians, the government has completely ignored this and other companies that are on the cutting edge of developing technology to make coal non-polluting and extremely efficient. Australia has a large number of operating black coal mines, nearly all of which are located in New South Wales or Queensland. Black coal ore reserves at operating mines could last 23 years at 2017 rates of production. And when all reserves are considered, this figure extends out to about 31 years. So we only have about 31 years to get our act together. And if we maintain these political parties, we will never do it because they are not interested in doing it. These are the coal mining operations currently going on west of Rockhampton, Queensland. This is in the Peak Downs area. But there's another basin just a little bit further to the west that hasn't even been developed yet. Another large coal mining operation is underway in Western Australia at Collie. Yet another smaller one is yanking out our valuable coal resources in Tasmania. These are the massive coal mines in New South Wales at places like Tarmor and Muswellbrook. However, we have not surveyed all the other available coal deposits, so there is quite likely a huge reserve of coal we don't even know about yet. All the while, the government has conspired to sell off our minerals to overseas interests, instead of using them to rebuild Australian manufacturing. Those assets should be helping Australia develop, not overseas countries. Don't you agree?
Where's the money?
Global coal production has averaged around 8,000 megatons a year since 2010, nearly double the amount produced in the early 1990s. You only have to look at the vast coal mining operations already going on to see how much of our national wealth is tied up in coal. And the good news is that the majority of it is still in the ground, as you can see here. This is all very well, but why are we exporting all our coal? It's a finite resource. Surely we should be keeping it, most of it here anyway, to develop our country ourselves. So just how much coal do we export each year? And what is the revenue? Well, Australia's coal export values hit a new peak of $56.5 billion in 2017, according to trade data from the Australian Bureau of Statistics. And get this figure jumped to an astounding $278 billion in 2019.
Where's the money?
With the current economic instability caused by the coronavirus, as well as a change in Chinese business practices, our government should be looking at ways to expand our coal export market to more countries. Instead, we are locked into unfair and unprofitable, for Australia anyway, coal export contracts that do not benefit us. At least they don't benefit us enough. But even more importantly, we should be looking for ways to use our vast coal resources to rebuild Australian manufacturing, which would create thousands of new jobs in many other sectors across the nation. However, while we allow the Vatican, the USA, the UN, and the international banking system to dictate how our country is run, we will not have a chance to restore our nation to health, wealth, and happiness. The money behind and backing this debt that ultimately supports the repayments and continuity of the system is effectively unanchored and merely backed by confidence. The Reserve Bank of Australia uses monetary policy to manipulate the money supply to support debt levels through the production of fiat currency. What is fiat currency? Well, when you go to a bank and you say, I need a loan, do they give you money or do they just tap a few keys on the keyboard and they create it out of thin air? That is fiat money. Controlling inflation preserves the value of money and encourages strong and sustainable growth to the economy over the longer term. Really? Well, have a look at this debt clock. Does it look like we are a rich country at the moment? It is clear that the central banking system is not working for our benefit. We have incurred a massive foreign debt, yet we have many Australians earning just enough to exist. And then there is the number of homeless sleeping out on our streets every night, which has increased by about 5% over the last 5 years. And that's not to mention our veterans and our aged and infirm. Who's helping us? Despite the government proclaiming a rise in the employment figures, what they are not telling us is that someone with a part-time job working just a few hours a week is considered fully employed. What a load of rubbish. The financial system today is based on creating more and more debt. Obviously, that is unsustainable. Eventually, someone has to repay the debt. Before we move forward to reform our political, economic and social systems to benefit all Australians, we need a plan. Advance Australia, our group, has proposed a five-point plan to bring our political system under the control of the sovereign people of the Commonwealth of Australia, as well as to reform our economic and social systems. This includes getting rid of the United Nations, unplugging our banking system from the international central bank system, set up by the likes of the Rothschilds and Morgans, and creating a business climate that will allow Australians to grow our industrial and agricultural base again. We need a central bank owned by Australians for Australians, like we had before 1920, when Sir Otto Niemeyer, the chairman of the Bank of England, came to Australia and forced the then Labor government of the day to hand over the keys to him, giving him control of our Commonwealth Bank of Australia. He stole the millions of pounds saved in this bank by hard-working Australians. In addition, we need to repudiate trade deals that disadvantage us, like GATT, PTT, the Lima Agreement, and others that have destroyed our ability to compete in world markets. Once we regain control of our political system, we can all vote in a series of carefully considered referendums to reform the laws that govern our nation. We could quickly repay the national debt, stop the massive corruption in politics and other sectors, and start working together as Australians to create a truly great country. One of the things that the political parties have done is to divide us. It starts with our politics. We have the left wing, we have the right wing. But how does a bird fly? Two wings, same bird. We can't allow them to divide us anymore. But all it takes is the will of the people, your will. It's up to each of us to take that first step towards freeing our nation of the debt slavery we have been forced into. Are you going to take that first step? How do we do that? It's up to you to learn about our Constitution, English common law, and the Magna Carta that are there to protect our rights and freedoms. They only protect them, though, if you use them. Now, the links to these documents are included in the description below. It's unfortunate that all we have done in the last 50 years or so is get so complacent that the political parties have been able to whittle our rights and freedoms away, incrementally, just bite by bite. Until today, we have no rights, we have no freedoms, we have a dictatorship. A political party dictatorship. But it doesn't matter though, because all those rights and freedoms are still there, as is our Commonwealth of Australia Constitution Act 1901. All we have to do is stand up for our rights. And when enough of us stand shoulder to shoulder, the corporate political party system will crumble. And when that happens, we will help set up a government of the people in the old Parliament House under the Constitution, and then set about changing our nation for the future with your help and guidance. Remember, it all starts with you. Are you ready to defend Australia?
Australia! Australia! My country don't share no borders, 'cause of all the waters that surround our sands. Thank God for our resources, 'cause they are the sources of our wealthy
Aussie Battler podcast, please consider donating to help keep us going. You can donate just once or make it a monthly donation. Any amount is welcome. To donate, go to our website at www.thebloodyaussiebattler.com and click on Donate.